Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Hey, amen. Thank you, Keith, for leading us in that song. Thank you, Marty, for leading us this morning in worship and praise of our Savior. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And today we're going to read every pastor's favorite verse. You'll see in a second, okay? We're going to read every pastor's favorite verse in the whole Bible. Of course, I'm only kidding just a little bit. But look with me here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Word of God says this: "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So now you can see why this is every pastor's favorite verse, right? And so today we're going to dive in and just expound and expose this verse together. But let's open up with a word of prayer. So the Word of God, let's pray together. God, this morning as we come to you and we come to your Word this morning, God, I just pray that you just help us to open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds to see, to hear, to understand, and to know what your Word is teaching us this morning. God, I pray that you just eliminate all distractions from our minds, Lord. Help us to come here and just to focus on what your Word is teaching us today. And God, as we come to this verse, it seemed to be a very personal verse, Lord. It talks about me as a pastor. It talks about them as congregation and church. But God, I just pray that you help us all to just submit to your authority, submit to your leadership, submit to your direction and guidance, God. Because after all, you call us all to obey and submit to you. Because you are the great shepherd. You are the one that has the utmost authority. And so God, this morning, we pray that you just help us to fully understand, Lord, everything your Word says. Help me to preach with simplicity, clarity, and passion. Help me to preach nothing but your Word and your Word alone. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. When I was about 10 years old, my dad and I went on a deer hunting trip. We went deer hunting this big old field, 40-acre field. If you know what 40 acres looks like, you know how big the field is. Really big field, and it was a driveway that split the field in half, and we were on the far side of the field over here. And we're there, we're hunting, and there was some deer that came out all the way on the other side of the field. And so 40 acres is a really long way away to be trying to take a shot at a deer, if that makes sense, right? And so my dad's like, okay, hey, let's make our way over there. There's some trees that run next to this driveway. Let's see if we can get to those trees without spooking the deer. And so I remember my dad very slowly, both of us very slowly walking and crawling and kind of kneeling down, hunched over, very slowly getting on the ground and crawling on our hands and knees and on our belly all the way till we get to these trees. Finally get there, my dad's guiding me along, right? Instructing me, he's teaching me. He's the one who said, hey, we got to walk slow. He's the one who said we got to crawl. He's the one that said we got to move slow. He's the one that helped set the gun up to be able to possibly take the shot between these two limbs. And finally, I was able to take the shot and harvest a small little buck. It's one of my favorite hunting memories with my dad. We went through all of that. Now, why do I tell you that story? Why do I tell you about this story? And it's ultimately to illustrate just a couple things. I was obedient to my father's directions. I was submissive to his guidance and his leadership. And I didn't groan about it. I didn't complain about it. I didn't complain about the crawling, the slow walking, the not talking, the having to whisper or anything like that, because I knew that it was ultimately going to be for my advantage, right? And through it all, my obedience, my submissiveness, my not groaning, my being successful in my hunt of a deer, you know what it brought to my dad? Great joy. It brought both of us a lot of joy, actually. My dad was watching over me, and I submitted to his watching over, and because of that, success happened. Our passage today, as we've already read, is about leaders in the church that watch over the souls of God's flock. How we as members of this church are to obey and submit to the leaders of the church, knowing that they are watching over our souls, knowing that what they are doing is for your advantage. Now, when we read this passage and we read and heard the words, obey and submit, you may have just cringed a little bit, didn't you? Right? I get it. Trust me, I fully understand. I would have probably cringed a little bit too. Because the reality is no one likes being told to obey and submit, do they? We don't like that. We don't like being told that, because when you obey and you submit to someone, it means that that person somewhat has a little bit of authority over you, don't it? And when we don't like it, when someone else has authority over us, do we? Our flesh doesn't like being told what to do. It's why we groan when our boss tells us to go and do something. It's why when we all, as teenagers, were told to do a chore by our parents, what did we do? We groaned, we complained, because we didn't really want to obey and submit to our parents. It's why teenagers gripe about doing homework when the teacher assigns it. Because they don't want to obey and submit. Submitting and obeying leaders is hard. I think we all can agree with that, can't we? And here we are in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, being told, commanded even, that we are to obey and submit to the leaders in the church. And so that brings some questions for us to answer. Do you obey and submit to the leaders in this church? Do you groan and possibly make it unjoyful for the leaders of this church? Do you understand that the role of leaders in this church are to watch over your souls? Do you know that the leaders in this church will one day, when Jesus returns and we're standing before Him at the great white throne judgment, will have to give an account for how they watched over your souls? Church, my hope, my purpose in preaching to you today from Hebrews 13:17 is that you will leave here with an understanding that you have a responsibility to obey and submit to faithful leaders in this church, knowing they're watching over your souls. And you noticed I may have said faithful leaders, not just anybody, faithful leaders, heavy emphasis on the word faithful there. We don't see that in the text here, but it's certainly implied, right? We obey and submit to faithful leaders watching over our souls. We respond by letting faithful leaders lead with joy. Faithfulness matters. I wouldn't have been so willing to freely obey and submit to my father in that hunt unless I trusted him, right? And knew that he had my best interest at heart. Therefore, today in our sermon, we're going to see two responses of God's people to faithful leaders in the local church. And church, this is the last thing I'm going to say before we get started here. As much as this passage is about you, I want you to know this passage has a lot to say about me too. It teaches that you have a responsibility, I have a responsibility. And when we are both responsible in biblical ways, I believe the church will cooperate together and flourish in spiritual growth and be healthy. Because that's the way that God has designed it. It's the way in which God Himself, I want you to understand this, it's not me, okay? I'm not saying this. I wouldn't pick this verse out on a random Sunday just to preach, would I? The only reason I'm preaching this verse is because it's the next verse in the chapter. But God has designed, Himself has designed and established it this way. And we all, every single one of us here, must be submissive to who? God. So let's begin with this first response. The first response is we respond to faithful leaders. We respond with obedience and submission to faithful leaders keeping watch over our souls. We respond with obedience and submission to faithful leaders. Again, the key word there is faithful leaders. So I'm going to put verse 17 up here again so we can all kind of have it there to reference. I encourage you to look in your Bible as well. Now, I believe that the first question that we have to ask is, who are the leaders in the church? According to this passage, who are the leaders, or what leaders is the author talking about in this verse? And the short answer is pastors, elders, overseers, shepherds. All those words are interchangeable, right? They all mean the same thing. I am a pastor, I am an elder, I am an overseer, I am a shepherd. Okay, I'm not using the word I, I'm only to say it's all about me. I'm using the word I to demonstrate that a pastor is an elder is a shepherd is an overseer, right? And so if you continue reading there in verse 17, you read that these leaders are keeping watch over your souls. And so the question is, who in the church keeps watch over your souls? The answer is pastors, elders, shepherds, overseers. Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he speaks to the elders of the Ephesian church and he says this. Let me go here. Pay careful attention. He's talking to the elders of the Ephesian church. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. We also read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, which Keith read earlier, talking to shepherd, he says, "So I exhort the elders to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." He goes on and talks about how we should not domineer. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, Paul lists his characteristics of overseers, the word in which he uses for the leaders of the church. And so when you begin to put all these verses together and all these passages together, you can clearly see that the leaders of the church, the leaders who keep watch over souls, are pastors, elders, shepherds, and overseers. If you begin to think about the titles themselves, it makes complete sense. You think about an overseer. What does an overseer do? But then the word itself, they what? They oversee. Think about a shepherd, right? Shepherd who was one who led and watched over a flock of sheep. And Peter uses the word to describe how shepherds, pastors, are to lead and watch over the flock. The word watch over here, if you really dive down into it, you kind of get this idea that these leaders are laying awake at night, concerned for the people of God. Watching over in such a way like that. The Bible is clear that pastors are the leaders of the church. Now I say all of that and also believe one more thing is crystal clear. Jesus is the great shepherd. So hear me when I say that loud and clear, because I want you to understand that Jesus is the great shepherd, okay? Pastors are only under shepherds of Jesus. They lead as under shepherds of Jesus. And this means that pastors must first be followers of who? Jesus. They must first be disciples of who? Jesus. They must lead with who leading them? Jesus. Faithful leaders have Jesus as their leader. The goal of their job is to lead and watch over souls. And so now the question becomes, how are pastors to lead and watch over the church of God? And so we just read several verses about this in Acts chapter 20, 28. Paul tells the elders to care for the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, pastors are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry in order to build up the body. In 1 Peter 5, 2, as it says right here, pastors are instructed to exercise oversight, and they are to do so without domineering, as verse 3 goes on to say. But rather, they are to be examples to the flock. We see in other places that elders should pray even for the sick. And so this ultimately expresses to us that pastors lead by overseeing the church of God, caring for the church of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, exercising oversight, setting the example, praying for the sheep. If you could sum it up into two categories, pastors teach God's Word and they set the example of how to live the life as believers. Jonathan Lehman, he writes in a book that the pastor's task is to lead the congregation as a whole and each member individually toward green pastures of God's Word, protected from the jaws of wolves who would devour them with false teaching. Just as a shepherd of sheep would lead his sheep to green pastures, right? Safe green pastures. Just as a shepherd would protect his sheep from the jaws of wolves, shepherds of God's people should lead them to green pastures of God's Word. Shepherds of God's people should protect them from the jaws of false teachers seeking to devour and destroy their lives. Pastoral ministry is serious. It's quite intimidating, honestly. The watching over of God's people is serious work, so serious that we see in the middle of verse 17 here, I'm going to go back to it. So serious that we see here that pastors will have to give an account for how they watched over the souls of the church of God. Did you know that, church? Did you know that pastors will one day have to give an account for how they watched over you? Each and every pastor that's ever pastored you will one day give an account for how they cared for you, how they watched over you. When pastors go to stand before the judgment seat, they will be judged for their work. As a matter of fact, all of us will be, right? If you're a believer here today, you're not going to be judged for whether you believe or whether you're not, because that judgment's already been made when you believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, right? But when Jesus returns and he calls us home, we're going to stand there before Jesus and he's going to judge us for the work that we did as believers. But if you are here today and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you will be judged in your unbelief, for your unbelief. And as God's Word teaches us, you're going to be cast into hell. And let me tell you this morning, I don't want that to happen for you. I don't want to scare you to heaven. I do want you to understand that there is a way that you can get out of hell. And that's through believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and repenting of your sins. And if that's something that you would like to do this morning, I just want to encourage you right now to just say, Lord, I'm going to commit to following you and trusting you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I know that I am a sinner and my sin has separated me from you and my sin has caused me and condemned me to hell. But God, because you're so good, you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me and my sins, for my salvation, to give me eternal life in heaven. So God, this morning, I'm making a decision to trust in you as Savior and Lord, to believe in you and repent of my sins. If that's you this morning, you're making that decision, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you after church today or at the end of a service at the back, or if you want to come up and talk to me here, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. So now, to come back to the beginning of verse 17, if the leaders of a church are faithful leaders, if they are faithful leaders seeking to lead the church in faithful teaching of God's Word, faithfully watching over the church of God, why would one not want to obey and submit? Knowing that the pastors have their best interest at heart. Has this church's best interest at heart? Back whenever I was in youth group at a church down in Alabama, we took a trip to go whitewater rafting at the Ocoee River out there. How many of y'all ever done that before? What? Several of us? Yep. It's fun, right? I loved every bit of it. It's been a long time since I've done it. I wouldn't mind going back and doing it. But we arrive. So those of you that have been there, you kind of know how it goes. You arrive at this one little destination, right? And they have tables set up, and you're sitting around the tables, and they have an instructor there. He's going over all the instructions. He's passing out your helmets. He's passing out your life jackets, passing out your paddles. He's telling you what you're going to be happening, what you're going to be doing. And then you all go and get on a bus, a hot, smelly, sweaty, stinky bus, right? And you ride so many miles down the road to the area where you're going to launch. And it's there where you meet your guide, the guy that's actually going to be directing and pushing along and guiding you down the river there. And he gives more instructions. We get in the boat and he's like, okay, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to say right, and the people on the right are going to what? Paddle. I'm going to say left, and the people on the left are going to what? Paddle. He said, I'm going to say hit the deck, and what are you going to do? You're going to hit the bottom of the raft so you don't fall out. And through all of this, we were also told of the dangers that could happen if we didn't follow his instructions, right? And you know what every single one of us did? Every single one of us teenagers, you know what we did? We obeyed and we submitted to his leadership, because we understood that this God had our best interests at heart. He wanted us to survive. He wanted us to live. He wanted us to see tomorrow. Right? We could trust him. And this is what our passage means when it says to obey and submit to the leaders of the church. You recognize that they have the best interest at heart, the church's best interest, and you obey them. You submit to them. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, Pastor, with what you are saying, it seems to be that if you go jump off a bridge, we're supposed to follow you. It seems to be that if you tell us to drink the Kool-Aid, to use a very bad example, you want us to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not telling you to follow a pastor off a bridge. I'm not telling you to follow a pastor and drinking Kool-Aid. Because at that point, that pastor is no longer a faithful leader. He's no longer faithful in watching over the souls of God because he doesn't care about you anymore, does he? He doesn't care about your life anymore. He's taken you to death. Church, the exact moment that a leader begins teaching something contrary to God's word, you are no longer required to obey and submit to them. You have no obligation to follow them. The exact moment that a leader begins to lead with shameful gain, with domineering, as 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 talks about, how they should not do that, we have every right. You have every right to no longer obey and submit to them. You, church, you have a higher authority than me, than any pastor. Do you realize that? You have a higher authority than pastors to submit to. And when pastors no longer submit to Jesus and begin to lead you astray, you must remain obedient and submissive to the one who has the greater authority, Jesus Christ, God, and His Word, His truth. To follow that pastor off the bridge would be to no longer follow Jesus. Church, this is why we as Southern Baptists have the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. This is why our church has an article of faith in our bylaws so that when leaders of this church begin to lead astray, you can say, "No, thank you, Pastor." But as long as the pastors of the church are teaching biblically, leading biblically, carefully and lovingly, watching over the souls, as God's Word says, you should obey and submit. Honestly, it's not really them you're submitting to. If the pastors, are submissive to God and His Word, when you submit to them, you're ultimately submitting to who? God and His Word, His teachings. Church, obedience and submissiveness is what you're called to, but the obedience and submissiveness does have its limits. Okay? Hear that loud and clear, please. The last thing I want to say here, and I think it's important for us to at least maybe ponder and chew on, it seems to me that the author of Hebrews has an expectation that there are multiple leaders leading the church. If you look again here at verse 17, the word leaders is in the plural. And then you go farther down the verse, it says, let them do this. You see, in several other places and passages of residence, like just the plurality of the word overseers, elders, pastors. So it seems that this expectation is that this early Hebrew church would have had more than one pastor, elder, shepherd, or overseer leading that church. And can you imagine the benefits it would be to a church to have multiple, not just one, but multiple pastors leading them? I don't have the time to explain all the benefits it would be, but it would honestly, I think it would make it easier to obey and submit. Because you're not just submitting to one guy, you know who you're submitting to? You're submitting to multiple. A group of faithful leaders, faithfully watching over the souls of the church of God. Now, I've spent a lot of time on this first response because it's very important. Really important stuff for us to understand and to dissect and to navigate and look at. But I want to first just now just kind of move forward to the next thing, the last part of verse 17 here. We see the second response is we respond by letting them lead with joy. We respond by letting faithful leaders lead with joy. So you look at the end of verse 17. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Allow me to illustrate this for you for a second. I was a special education teacher for 2 years before Ashton and I moved to Kansas City. And in my time as a teacher, there were good days and there were bad days, right? Hard days and there was great days. And you know what ultimately decided those good days and bad days? The response of the kids. How the kids acted, what they did, how they responded, how they reacted in the class. If the kids came to school and they were there, eager to learn, ready to obey, ready to submit to the teacher's teachings in order to grow in knowledge, oh, it was a wonderful day. It was a great day to be a teacher. Honestly, I was happy and joyful to be their teacher, right? But then let's say the other days the kids come to school, it's like they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It must have been a full moon, Friday the 13th. I don't know what it was, but there was days that would happen, and kids were just bouncing off the walls. They were not there to learn. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. They were not willing to obey, not willing to be submissive to my teaching and what I was trying to instruct them at. And you know how I went home that day? Groaning and complaining about the kids. I was not happy and joyful to be their teacher. As a matter of fact, it sometimes made me question whether I wanted to be a teacher ever again. Now you tell me, who's the better teacher? The one who's joyful or the one who's groaning and complaining? Church, this is the exact point that the author is making here. When the church obeys and submits and works together with the pastors, those pastors, they will lead with joy. They will be happy to be your pastor. They will go to sleep at night with joy, looking forward to waking up the next day. What an advantage that is for you and for the life of the church. But let's say the opposite happens. It's honestly no joy for anybody, right? If the pastor, if the leader is not happy, you think about organizations, big organizations, you know, things like that. You think about sports teams. If the head coach isn't happy, or let's go up higher than that. Let's say the CEO, if he's not happy, do you think the rest of the people in that organization are happy? Nope. It's a disadvantage to all of them, right? It doesn't help any of them. If the pastors know that you aren't going to be obedient to what he teaches from God's Word, then why does he even spend time planning it? If the pastors know that you aren't going to listen to his vision and where he would like to see the church grow spiritually, why even bother? Church, it is a disadvantage to the body of Christ when the pastors are groaning and leading without joy. Therefore, may we be a church that allows its leaders to lead with joy. Not because I said it, but because God's Word says it. So, we'll wrap it up there. Our sermon today, we've seen two responses to faithful leaders. We respond with obedience and submission. We respond by letting faithful leaders lead with joy. If I could use one word to ultimately kind of sum all of this up, it'd be this. Cooperation. Think about that word, cooperation. Whenever you cooperate together, in a loving, caring, joyful way. You know what things happen? You know how things go? Like a well-oiled machine, isn't it? It's going to run effectively, smoothly. It's going to move forward. But the moment that there is rigid and roughness and things like that, it disrupts the smooth operation, doesn't it? May we seek to be a church that has a smooth and flowing cooperation here. Working together, moving forward, caring for each other, loving each other. God has designed the church in this way. And I hope today that you've seen that from the Word of God. And I hope today that you've seen that this ain't me up here shouting this out there, okay? I hope today you've seen that it's God's Word. Not my Word. Not anyone else's Word. It is God's holy Word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning and we just are overwhelmed by your grace, by your mercy. Lord, I just pray this morning that we will all live our lives in full submission to you. That we will remember that we are called to submit to you, Lord. And to you alone. So God, I just pray this morning that you help us to do that. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.